felt like we were ready to play. I felt like we were in a good mindset. And like I said, I thought the first 10 minutes, they came out strong. And the next 10 minutes, I thought we controlled play. And then I just thought we had too many passengers throughout the rest of the game and just weren't on the same page. And, they get a couple goals and momentum like that, and then you're chasing the game. And it's hard to get it back, when you're down three against a good team that plays sound defensively like them.
Auston Matthews there, and talking about sound defensively, the Maple Leafs couldn't score in this series, Derek. They were having a difficult time routinely putting goals in the back of the net.
And the worst part of this is it's not just this series. Mm-hmm. It is in game seven.
Yep.
They do not score.
No.
Very rarely do they put the puck in the net in a game seven. Especially with this core, they don't.
They don't.
And now, if you include the game five in the qualifying round against mm-hmm. Columbus, it makes it even worse.
Yep. I mean, like that is their MO. They just completely shy away. And then no one else kind of steps up to and I'm not blaming the entire roster, I guess, but there's no one there to kind of pick themselves up by the bootstraps and decide they're going to be the hero. No one does. But you look at this series, the first two games they win 5 goals, 4 goals. Then they lose the next three. They score 4 in game three. Then they go into a shell the rest of the way, even in a win. 0 in game 4, 1 in game 5, 2 in a game 6 they win, and then 1 in a game 7 they lose. I mean, just completely barren
in
terms of production.
Even their win is uh-huh. Joseph Woll stands on his head
yep.
and outplays Bobrovsky. But Bobrovsky has been playing ever since game 3. He's been a stone wall.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, it turns into how much of this is actually Bobrovsky and how much of it is the core makeup and mentality of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yep. So on that makeup of them, Brad Marchand, I'm getting this from Jesse Blake, who does a podcast.
Steve Dangle Podcast Network, yep.
Brad Marchand does not agree with the criticism the Leafs core receives. Quote, they've been working and building something really big here for a while, and they're a different brand of hockey this year. They're getting crucified, and I don't think it's justified. Marchand, of all people, should be like, I totally get it. Yeah.
No,
I'm a big part of it. I get it. I understand.
But also, Brad Marchand, off the ice, is actually a really nice dude. From everything that I hear, Brad Marchand's actually a good person.
It's nice, but he's lying right there.
But the thing is that he's also just so scuzzy on the ice. It's so weird.
He's full on lying there.
So you mentioned Jesse Blake. Steve Dangle being a big Leafs voice, mm-hmm. In the media scape, more or less says that the pity tour that Florida takes there is almost like low-key savage as well. And it's kind of almost the thing that you don't want to hear as Leafs fans anymore is, it's not justifiable.
They're right there. They played a different brand of hockey this year. The problem is
the different brand of hockey still got you only one goal in a game seven. That's not enough.
No.
It's never enough.
The different brand of hockey was this year. You ultimately just totaled what was either last year or the year prior where you finally won a playoff series. And it really didn't change anything.
So there is a non-zero chance that they try to go back with relatively the same core.
Absolutely, yep.
I'm still 1,000% convinced that Marner's gone. He's out of there. And it's because of the fact that the team doesn't necessarily think that there's something there. Marner doesn't think that there's necessarily something there anymore. There's reports that he could have waived a no trade and that the Rantanen deal could have ended up going to Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
And Marner does not waive because he's part of the return. At some point, there's enough animosity between you two
mm-hmm.
that there is no retention that's going to happen here. There's enough animosity toward the Leafs fan base to Marner
yep.
to where it's not worth going back anymore. He's booed every time he touches a puck in the third period.
It was brutal. It was brutal. Yeah.
When you're not alone in the struggle, it feels very much like, yeah, no, see you later. And this is why Buffalo remains strong for me. He can play close to his family while then also being now a direct responsible person if the Leafs decline and the Sabres ascend. He can be solely responsible for mm-hmm. the next chapter of that.
I think as well, too.
That would sound so cool.
I do think this would play into it potentially at this point in his career. The expectations would be lowered.
Yes.
you know, when you're in Toronto and the moment they got good, it became cup or bust. And it got to the point where
in his last game,
yeah, and it did get to a point that in most likely his last game in Toronto, he is booed, as you mentioned, every time he touches the puck in the third period. Yeah. We have fans throwing jerseys on the ice in play. And so
even game five,
yeah,
the boos that were happening
were bad.
Were directed mostly at the first line.
Mm-hmm.
When those boos were happening, it was oftentimes when the Toronto first line was out there of Marner, Matthews, and Nyes. And I don't think any Toronto fans are going there saying, I hate Matthew Nyes.
Yeah, no.
Not yet.
No, we'll get there. We'll get there, bud. It'll be your turn soon. But when you look at Marner, and maybe this is an entirely different way of how he's going to be thinking, because I get he's a pro athlete, and most of them are wired differently. But after dealing with this for 8 years, give or take about 8 years, the idea then of going to stay close to your family, Buffalo, hang out with your idol, Josh Allen, and be told, I think pretty accurately, all you need to do is make the playoffs and you'll be hockey version of him, pointing at Josh Allen. You're a 100-point scorer. You've had no issues making the playoffs your entire career. We've got some pretty good talent around here, and you are no stranger to making the playoffs. That's all we're asking, at least to start. But for a guy who probably the last 5 or 6 years has been told, if you don't win a cup, we're going to freak out. We're going to burn your jersey. We're going to boo you the entire time you touch the puck. You're going to have these scars of game sevens and what have you. Might not be that bad to then be the face of Buffalo and then basically be told all you have to do is make the playoffs. And if there really is some animosity, like you mentioned, and you get to kind of be a part of the downswing for Toronto as their biggest rival gets a bit of an upswing.
And no matter where that signs, is nice. He's getting booed fervently.
Oh, in Toronto? Toronto? Absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm interested in his return to Toronto no matter where he signs. Because, like, are fans going to forgive the playoff ineptitude and walking away in UFA? Walking away in UFA should just be, that's business. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
But Isles fans did not treat John Tavares well with that.
Well, and also with him not waiving his no-trade clause, for Rantanen, who for Dallas has been a playoff nightmare for everyone to deal with,
mm-hmm.
there's also going to be that of, that was our missing piece. Not you, him. He could have fixed us.
Yeah.
And you decided to stay here, give us nothing for it, and then leave and still perform like crap in the playoffs.
And that's the thing, is that like some of that's going to be, you're wrong.
But
the fan base is wrong, yep, in that sense. But
that's going to be the attitude.
I'm also not going to tell you how you should feel at that, mm-hmm, point either. Because the question that Jeremy raised today with Nate of, will Bills fans get to a point of frustration, to a point of no return, mm-hmm, with their frustration,
yeah,
with this Bills core? And I think it depends on the person. Because a couple times that's happened with McDermott throughout this tenure.
I was going to say, if we're just saying McDermott, I'd say we've kind of gotten there for,
we've already done that
for a number of fans have kind of gotten there.
A number of fans, like you said, it is to a point of no return. They don't trust him.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it is. But a good majority of fans, it has kind of walked back a little bit. And I think because we're seeing a different version of him being expressed out in the media. A guy that is looking like he's trying to have more fun out there. But at the same time, yeah, how much of it ultimately at the end of the day, if Josh Allen makes zero Super Bowls,
mm-hmm,
how good was this era really? But that's a question I hope that we never have to talk about down the road.
And to be fair, they're not the only team talking about in the NFL.
In the AFC.
Baltimore is talking about it. Cincinnati, while, yes, made a Super Bowl, have now missed the playoffs 2 years in a row. There's a feeling there of what the hell's happening.
Right.
We have arguably one of our greatest quarterbacks ever in a franchise in Cincinnati that has had a number of very good quarterbacks, if not great ones.
Every fan base in the AFC, outside of one,
mm-hmm,
is really questioning everything at this point.
Yep.
And we went from one team that consistently made...
Well, except Pittsburgh.
The damn
Pittsburgh's
Super Bowl.
Super happy where they're at.
I mean, their team is. Their fans aren't.
Yeah. Team loves it, though. 9-8, baby.
9-8,
we'll be right there.
But it's,
we're going to get blown up by 20, but we'll be there.
I'm very interested to see, because the entire landscape of the National Hockey League is going to change on July 1st. When a signing from Marner...
Don't give me an 11th hour re-signing.
But ready? If that happens, the landscape changes again. Because what happened the last time something like that went down? Stamkos re-signs in Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
Team sends stupid money.
Yeah.
To anybody and everybody that's a free agent.
Because all of a sudden the big ticket was gone.
But I still have all this money to spend.
And I have needs.
And I'm not going to lie to you. I'm kind of itching for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you still have guys like Tavares hitting free agency. Sam Bennett, who's going to have that kind
Bennett
of cup tax around
Glenn,
him.
One of them's going to. Brad Marchand's going to be a free agent at 37, excuse me.
37, yeah.
Yeah, he'll be a free agent at 37. You tell me that someone's not going to hand him extra term that he doesn't need?
Right. Let's go to the phones here. Anthony's on the line. Anthony, how are we doing this morning?
Hey, good, guys. How you doing?
Doing not well.
Not
too bad. Hey, I just wanted to chime in on the Mitch Marner discussion you guys are having. I agree with all the points about the proximity to his house, all that stuff. Like, he doesn't have to come here with a ton of pressure. My biggest concern would be, though, where would he play? I mean, Tage Thompson looks like Lindy kind of liked him at wing a little bit more than center. The discussions around Alex Tuch, possible July 1 extension. I mean, if you got both of those guys locked in long term, I don't believe that Marner plays any left wing or obviously center. What would we, you know, where would he even fit in the lineup?
I'll tell you right now, it's line one wing. You move Tuch down, and I hate to say this, you might trade JJ as an RFA to try to get that piece on defense that can pair with Owen Power.
Yeah, and Anthony, thanks for the call. I think it does become, you sign Marner, and it does signal you're willing to make big moves, and you are going to make big moves. That's why I'd also say, just for me at least personally, I don't think it's going to happen. Derek, I'm more with you.
We're back to the Myles Garrett conversation.
Yeah, it's the idea of, you know, I also would like to see them add a Sam Bennett because I think he would slot right in on your second line and be a really good piece that your team does kind of need, that physical forward that is just a pain in the you-know-what to play against. But I also think defense is probably their biggest need. They need that top four defenseman that when Dahlin goes down with an injury, they don't lose 10-plus games in a row.
But sometimes, in order to get an asset like that, mm-hmm. you need to give an asset.
Yep.
What helps you give an asset? Well, you got your bases covered. That's how. The last thing on this, though, for me, is that at the end of the day, I just want to see the Sabres fly a plane out there.
You want to hear them part of the conversation.
I want to see a picture of Terry in Toronto going to talk to Mitch. That's it. At minimum, that's all I want to see is that they put an effort in and they wanted to be there to be included. I want them to show me that they are serious, and I'm pretty sure there are a lot of fans that would think the same way of, oh, they actually mean it. I still don't believe in them, but they're there. That's how bad it is for Sabres fans is just show me something. Show me a pulse so that I can believe.
Well, because you can believe that
if Kevin Adams and Eric Staal are out there, that counts for me.
Oh man,
I need Sabres representation to show up in Toronto. They don't have to succeed. They have to show me that they mean it.
They have to show you that they mean it because it becomes very quickly, even if you don't get Marner, there's a belief that, okay, but you are going to add. You're going to be aggressive this year. You know the bullseye's on your back. Adams probably shouldn't be having this offseason, but here we are.
Hey,
it shows you something.
Hey, we're not going to get Mitch. Tell your agent to give us Sam Bennett's number.
803-0550, the number to call. Not for Sam Bennett, for us. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer. We'll be right back to wrap up today's show. Get ready for Sabres Live. This is WGR.